A man believes Satan decapitated his chickens. A woman sets her cancer on fire. A farmer's wife drowns her children so the demons will stop tormenting her. Was it sorcery or was it madness? This is the true crime story of Black River Falls, the cursed town that met absolute mayhem in the 1890s. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you all so much for joining me today. And if you don't mind what one of my recent commenters called my annoying voice, please consider subscribing or supporting me on Patreon. It's my final spooky story for the month of October, and then we can go back to our regularly scheduled murders and scams. But this time, we're not talking about one hotel nor one slaying. We're talking about a whole town's worth. The year was 1890, and the town was Black River Falls, Wisconsin. Today, it's a city of 3,500 people with antique shops and hiking trails and a large population of an endangered blue butterfly that gets its own festival every July. The Ho-Chunk Nation of Wisconsin American Indian Tribe has its headquarters here. But at the turn of the century, it was a sawmill town, founded in 1839 to harness the power of the Black River that runs right through it and take advantage of the nearby forests. German and Norwegian settlers had come there looking for prosperity, and they found it. But in the late 1800s, something had changed. Bleak winter after a long, desolate winter had forced the local sawmills to close, and those who had chosen to weather the storm were met with the coldest cold and near starvation. In the first 3 months of 1890, the lower Mississippi Valley had almost 30 inches of rain, which meant that all of the tributary rivers along the Mississippi were in trouble. Black River Falls was wrecked. Not to mention, the U.S. had moved on from the economic growth of the Gilded Age to a full-fledged financial panic that's now known as the Other Great Depression. 15,000 companies closed and 600-plus banks failed across the country, and it seemed like so many bad things had happened in such a short time that people of Black River Falls started saying that it must be the work of witches and devil worshippers. The fury of Mother Nature, the lack of jobs, the fear of starvation, the crumbling economy, and now the devil himself might be trying to take down the town? It was all too much. The chaos started with just some everyday derangement, as the local paper put it. One article from the Badger State Banner reads, E.Y. Spaulding, who ran a dry goods store in Black River Falls, was last week taken with strong symptoms of derangement, a misfortune doubtless superinduced by overwork and anxiety over business matters. Another article said that the wife of Hans Nelson took her own life by cutting her throat. She had been deranged for some time, it read. Another talked about how a farmer's 60-year-old wife did the same to her throat using a pair of sheep shears. Then there were those who killed others, like a woman who believed that devils were out to get her. She took her three children to the nearby lake and drowned them one by one. Only two of the bodies were ever found. There was a young man who shot a woman three times in the face when she refused his marriage proposal. And a German farmer who starved all of his livestock and then blamed it on the witches that were after him. There was also a 10-year-old boy sentenced to life in jail when he and his brother shot a farmer, kept it a secret, and spent all summer treating the farm like their castle. They were only discovered when the farmer's brother came to visit. There were those who suffered from bad accidents, like a man who was chewing a tough piece of steak and accidentally unhinged his false teeth, and then swallowed them whole. His doctor couldn't get them back up, so he just had to poke them down. A Mr. N.H. Young came home with a bottle of whiskey, which he, of course, just happened to set down next to his bottle of carbolic acid. When he reached for one of them in the dark, he got the other, and 4 ounces of acid later, he was said to live for about 4 more minutes. There were the religious fanatics, like the man who shut himself up in his barn, started shouting, "Here I go, and the Lord go with me," threw a stick of live dynamite into a hole, and then stuffed his head down that same hole. And Mrs. Hiram McDonald, who attacked her own children, wrecked her furniture, and busted out the windows in her house, was simply rendered insane by religious excitement. The men in town formed a temperance society to protect the women from their own degradation and use every possible means to fulfill the command, "Keep thyself pure." So kind of them. There were destitute women, like the one who was found naked and frozen along the roadside after she and her butcher husband separated. and the one who wandered the streets with her dead baby, sat for a while at the grocer's, and then wandered some more. She threw bitter glances at the happy women passing by in their fashionable clothes with their living babies. The grocer said this sort of thing was a daily occurrence at his store with poor women all over town. It had never possessed any special meaning to him. And there were those who had run-ins with the paranormal, like Adolf Vollmer, who was awakened each night by the sound of footsteps as his house suddenly lit up and doors began to swing. It would only last a minute or two, but it would happen several times in the early morning. One newspaper article read, "La Crosse was somewhat agitated last week by an alleged ghost, manifesting itself in the usual symptoms." You know, the usual ghost stuff. A little boy named Nestor went to see a traveling hypnotist who stopped in the town and then found himself unable to speak above a whisper for months. Doctors thought he must be under sort of a hypnotic trance. And then one day, he just got his voice back. There were also a ton of things being set on fire, like a McNab who decided it'd be more practical to have a smaller house and so burned his larger one to the ground. And a woman who found a sore on her back and thought, it's surely cancer and there's only one way to cure that. So she drenched herself in kerosene, went to the backyard, and lit a match. There was also a group of poor nomads who arrived one weekend and decapitated 18 of Farmer Sheldon's chickens. He thought the devil had made his home on the farm and burned down his own barn in a sort of exorcism. What he didn't know is that the nomads had already left and were enjoying 18 rotisserie chickens in the forest outside of town. But if you watched my recent video on being buried alive, you'll know that the story that caught my interest the most was the one about a Mrs. Sarah Smith, who was accidentally put to rest in the ground while she was merely in a coma-like state. They later dug her up to move her to an adjacent grave, and they found that she had turned to her side, lifted her right hand, and bitten off half of her fingers. Now, what I find most charming about these news reports, you know, in the way that you can find news about murder and mayhem charming, is how straightforward they are. News stories today always seem like they have all this opinion mixed in, but these from the 1800s are like, Mrs. Carter sustained internal injuries and was later found trying to strangle herself with a towel. The end. So many people were dying in this small town that people in Chicago got together and bought them a new hearse. So, do I think it was demons driving people to wreak havoc on themselves in this town? I mean, of course, a part of me wishes it was so, this being spooky season and all, but I actually think it was something more like incredible grinding stress. In the early 1890s, the extremely contagious bacterial disease diphtheria ravaged the town, taking the majority of Black River Falls children. Schools closed, people panicked, and feeling like there was no other option to save themselves, they would burn down the houses of anyone who caught it. As the disease spread, the townsfolk turned to alcohol, unraveled, and took their own lives to cope with the constant threat of death. Not only the threat from diphtheria, but from the sawmills closing and the businesses failing and even the weather taking the crops. It's no wonder so many of the town's news stories mention madness and derangement. There's only so much pressure you can take. One teenager took her own life at the time, and in the note she left behind, she said that she was overworked by her parents, who were probably just trying to keep their business alive. People were just trying to keep their lives together in the depths of despair. So, of course, they wanted to blame some kind of black magic for making it all happen. It seems like in the early 1900s, the curse was lifted. The town went back to relative normal as the United States became a world power, 5 railroad systems were established, oil was just seeping up through the ground, and we became the largest agricultural producer. The age of the automobile, the telephone, and electricity had come, and the Roaring Twenties were right around the corner. The devil left Black River Falls. So what do you think happened in the town over the course of those 10 years? Was it witchcraft or just a really, really bad stroke of luck? And if you'd like to read or watch more about this cursed town, check out the book Wisconsin Death Trip and the movie by the same name. I'll link them in the description for your spooky enjoyment. Happy Halloween, All Hallows Eve, and Day of the Dead to you. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.